Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
God wants us to have prosperity in life. God wants us to live an abundant life. That's why he's given us an abundance of grace. And out of this grace, the Bible says that we will reign through grace. In verse 21, I believe it says, through righteousness. And I spent some time talking about the fact that if you don't understand God's righteousness, then you will never understand God's grace. That righteousness, the Bible says, is a gift. The gift of righteousness. So just like today on Christmas, many of you got gifts. And although you might have grown up in an environment or a home where you got gifts based on your performance, you got gifts based on your work, that if you didn't do well in school, you didn't get any gifts. Some people, that's how some of you grew up, right? But then there were plenty of times this year that my daughter wasn't on her best behavior, and I said, I'm not buying her any gifts. But I still bought her gifts. Right? When times when I didn't want to, because she didn't do everything right, I wanted to hold back from her according to law. See, that's law. The law says if you don't do everything right, you don't get blessed. Grace says you didn't do everything right, but because of my relationship, I still bless you. See, under the law, you didn't have a relationship with God. You had a relationship with rules. You had a relationship with a stone. You had a relationship with the laws that were written on the stones, right? The law came through Moses, the Bible says. The law was given by Moses. That Moses was given the commandments, and he taught the commandments to the people, and the people just simply tried hard to keep the law, keep the commandments. And unfortunately, the commandments were never designed to make you righteous. They were actually designed to show you your limits, your weaknesses, and your need of a savior. Because you weren't going to keep the law, and you were going to fail at it. But all it did was help identify to you, clarify to you what was good, what was evil, so that you will be able to die to self-righteousness and begin to look to God to become your righteousness. All right? So now, according to the law, you were blessed after you were obedient. But you had no relationship with God. So here's what happened. The law told you what was right, told you what to do, but it didn't lift one finger to help you do it. The law was a rigid taskmaster, so to speak. All right? It's a stone. You don't have relationships with stones, all right? It's hard. It's inflexible. Now, under grace, we have a relationship with the living God himself. The Bible says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That God with us, Emmanuel, that God chose to come and walk with us, talk to us, live with us. And now, we actually don't have to go to God through rules, but we go directly to God through relationship. And out of a relationship with God, we'll find ourselves actually living according to the rules. You see, grace is not an excuse to not live right, but grace is an empowerment to live right. Because now with my relationship with God, God is actually supplying the strength, and he's actually supplying the corresponding might that I need to actually do what he asked me to do. See, it's one thing for me to tell my daughter, go and read. Another thing is for me to come alongside her and teach her how to read. It's one thing for God to tell you, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's another measure when God comes alongside and teaches you how not to steal, how not to commit adultery, and so on and so forth. Do you see the difference? So grace is now God saying, I'm going to give strength to the ungodly. Romans 5 says that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. While we didn't have the power to live right, God died for us so that in his mercy and in his grace, we will be able to generate the righteousness that we needed to be able to live up to God's standard, okay? So this is the good news about grace, is because God is now for us, not against us. that God is not seeking to punish us. He's not seeking to judge you in your wrong or your sin. God is after a relationship with you so that in that relationship, he will be able to empower you to live up to the joy of living a perfect, holy life, right? So we are aware that God, Jesus told us in Matthew 5 that he says, be perfect as I'm perfect, right? We know that. That standard didn't change under grace. Okay? So when we take that into consideration, that God actually wants us to live just as perfect as him, we have to realize that God has given us an abundance of grace because we're going to need an abundance of it to get this thing right. All right? He's going to keep forgiving you abundantly. Because the abundance of forgiveness is designed to show you that God is not giving up on you. See, I'm spending time teaching you about your righteousness so that you can have an unshakable confidence about your relationship with God. That no matter how many times you fail, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Why? Because a righteous man does not allow his fall to become his identity. You are not your mistakes. You are not your fall. You are the righteousness of God. And being righteous, you will fall. Because a righteous man falls 7 times. All right? So, I started in Philippians 2 because the Bible tells us this. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Let this mindset, let this mentality be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So one of the things that we should know is that when Jesus came to the earth, one thing he wants us to know about him is his mind. He doesn't just want us to know his power. He doesn't just want us to know his anointing, but he actually wants us to know his mind. He wants us to know his mentality, the way he thinks, all right? And when Jesus came to the earth, he put in himself a mind that we are supposed to also allow to be in us. So when the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, he's actually, what are we renewing our minds with? We're renewing our minds with the mind of Christ. We are allowing ourselves to think the way he will think. Now, before I go any deeper, I want to give you this next definition of righteousness, okay? So I said that righteousness is a gift, that is not something that we work for, that right now, today, you are righteous. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are not trying to become right with God. You are not trying to become righteous. You are already righteous. Okay? And you're not just 50% righteous or 90% righteous or 95% righteous, but you are 100% righteous. And if you don't believe that, the Bible says that if you are guilty of breaking one law, you're guilty of breaking them all. So to be righteous according to the law is futile, because if you just broke one of God's law, the Bible says it's as if you broke all of them. So you can't be 50% righteous. You have to either be 0% or 100% right. And the good news is that God has given us his righteousness, that Jesus fulfilled the law for us so that from now on we no longer look at ourselves to try to qualify ourselves to be right in God's sight, but we just simply say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me your gift of righteousness, that you became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is the gospel. And you know what happens today? Many people are trying to use their faith for things, but they're not using their faith for the righteousness of God. So we'll have faith for cars, and we'll have faith for money, and we'll have faith for our spouse. We'll have faith for our house. But the one thing Paul actually told us to use our faith for was for righteousness. Romans 10 verse 10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, not unto stuff, not to possessions, but unto righteousness, and confession is made unto salvation. So if you have not taken your faith to believe, see, the first thing faith does for you is make you right with God. God is not pleased with anything else but faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God is not pleased with anything else but faith. So the first thing that faith does is that faith makes you right with God. Once you believe the good news of Jesus Christ and what Christ did on the cross for you when he died for your sins, forgave you of all your sins, and then made you right, that's the gospel. Once you believe that you've been made right with God, then you can make confessions and declarations and decrees, and it happens for you. You see, you cannot pray confidently to a God, or you cannot confidently come to a person and ask them for something if you don't believe you're right with them. So why am I trying to pray to God and ask him to bless me if I don't believe I'm right with him? That's where many Christians go into insanity and emotional instability. They have faith today and don't have faith tomorrow. They have hope today and don't have hope tomorrow because they don't even believe that they're right with God. Right? If I backstabbed Nick, I'm not going to go up to Nick tomorrow and ask him for $50. Nick got the mind of Christ. See, but I won't even have the courage to go up to him and ask him because I know I just did him wrong. I just did him dirty, right? So when you feel that you're guilty, you don't have any confidence to go up to a person to have a relationship with them. So that's why righteousness has to be settled. We have to be settled on this truth. We got to believe in our righteousness and be as confident as we are in that truth, because that's where you have the boldness to come to the throne of grace. Right? Then he said, come boldly to my throne. Come boldly to the throne of grace and ask in your time of need. See, I believe I can ask whenever I want, whenever I'm in need, because I'm coming in the righteousness that God has given me as a gift, not my own righteousness. So if I don't feel like I lived holy enough last week, I don't feel like coming to God, that does not matter to me, because my righteousness is not based on my performance and my ability. We are under a new covenant, and under this new covenant of grace, God has given us a gift called righteousness so that we can have no excuse to bring heaven to earth. We'll have no excuse not to do the works that Christ did because we're not functioning out of our own ambition. So Paul said in Romans 4, if any man is going to boast, you can't boast in yourself under grace. That's why when I see people boasting about their grind, I know they're not under grace. The Bible says, for the flesh profits nothing. Anything I do, Jesus said he done nothing of himself but what he seen the Father doing. Everything he did out of relationship, out of inspiration, and out of the grace that God gave him. He didn't even heal everybody, did he? Jesus didn't go around. He didn't heal everybody. He healed where the grace for healing was present for. And grace is present where there's faith. For the Bible said that we are saved by grace through faith. Come on. And those who have faith, remember the greatest miracles that Jesus seen when he was on earth came from the people who didn't qualify for it according to the law. The man who had leprosy, who Jesus touched to heal him. Do you know that Jesus broke the law to heal that man? Because according to the law, if anybody had leprosy, you couldn't touch them. That you will become ceremonially unclean if you touch a person with that disease. So when Jesus went and touched the man and he healed him, he broke the law to heal that person. And that person had to be willing to allow Jesus to break the law to heal him. That was faith. Faith in the grace of God and the righteousness of God. See, the reason why many of us are not experiencing the greater that God has in store for us, because we're still living too safe. Religion got you in this nice, cuddly nest, and you just expect God to just bring everything down to you. He's going to drop the worm in the nest so that you can eat it. But Jesus is saying, no. I didn't die for you to stay as an eaglet. I want you to become an eagle. Eagles learn how to soar and get their own food. Eagles know how to fly in independence. Eagles are confident in who they are. Eagles are willing to fly out that nest and trust their wings to be able to do the greater works than they can do. Come on. I'm tired of seeing immature babes coming to church every Sunday who don't want to have any faith, who don't want to take any risk to do the supernatural. And in essence, the supernatural is who you really are. Let me show you this. Philippians 2. Let this mind, or allow this mind to be in you. Check this out. What was the mind? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation to become a man. This was the mind of a mind of Christ. So what God showed me was this. He said, son, your righteousness with me makes you equal with me. I said, Lord, that sounds like blasphemy. He said, your righteousness makes you equal with me. See, when God tells you something and then religion, you know, you still got some religion in your mind. So it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to believe that. One of the definitions of righteousness historically was that righteousness meant the right measure of weight. The right measure of weight. I don't know if you guys remember in the back in the old in the composition notebooks, when they used to have the scales and the measurements on the back. Remember the word righteousness used to be in there, or righteousness was in there, if you noticed it. Yeah. And righteousness was talking about weight. It was dealing with scales. And before, when people used to trade, when they would trade stuff, barter through barter system. One of the things was that the way that they made sure things were an even exchange was that they would measure things. So if we're exchanging salt, there were people who would try to manipulate salt so that they might mix the salt with something else so that it may look like salt, but it's not. So I might put some powder and mix it with the salt and tell you that it's 100% salt. And then I'm bringing you, let's say we both agree to, you know, we're going to exchange seasoning or something like that. We're going to mix this stuff up. I'm giving you 5 pounds of salt. You got to give me 5 pounds of pepper, okay? Crushed pepper, okay? So what people will do is to make sure that there's an even exchange, they will weigh the two items that's being exchanged and make sure that it's righteous in weight. It's equal in weight. That was where the term righteousness was used historically. The right measurement or the right measure of weight. Now the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One of the translations for the word glory is the word kabod, which means heavy in weight. So when the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, we've all sinned and fallen short of the weight of God. So when we sinned, we lost weight. And when we lost weight, we were no longer in the same class bracket as God. So if those of you that watch boxing, you know that a featherweight can't get in the ring with a heavyweight. Now, if you try to do it, it's not an even match. Because your feather boxes to the heavyweight, he's not even feeling it. All right? And one punch from a heavyweight will knock you out. Now, we're not boxing against God, but what it means is that we're in the same class. That means we can get in the ring together. Are you following me? So when the Bible says that when we lost the glory, we lost weight. And Jesus Christ came to restore righteousness. Righteousness is the right measure of weight. God was bringing us back into the same class as him. Now look at this. You want to believe me? Philippians 2. Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So don't consider it robbery today for you to be equal with God. See, because righteousness, when we weigh the scales, it will be robbery if I was not fair in terms of giving you what we said we were going to exchange for. I don't know if they're getting this, Marcus. It will be robbery if it wasn't equal. So here's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm going to equally become man so that man can equally become like me. And it wouldn't have been fair if he didn't come down to our level. So he had to become 100% like man. See, most of us still think like Jesus came and although he was God, he lived as God. No, although he was God, he didn't live like God. He lived like a man. The Bible says in this same Philippians 2 that he stripped himself of his divine privileges just so that he can live just like us to be a faithful high priest. He went through everything we went through. He learned how to shake pee. He learned how to poop. He learned how to sleep, all right? He did all the same stuff that we do, God. He was born. He died. God can't die. Hello. He got tired. Remember Jesus got tired and he sat down, the disciples had to go feed him. The Bible says God never gets weary. But when Jesus walked the earth for 33 years, he took off all of his divinity so that he can live just like you and us. He felt the same pressure, temptations that human beings have today. So today, church, Jesus is saying, don't consider it robbery to see yourself like me. Don't consider it robbery. It's not blasphemy. You're not taking any glory away from me by confessing who you are in me. Because the humility that God had to display to humble himself to become a man is the same humility we have to display in believing that we can become like God. See, it's not humble for me to think of myself more and more as a human. I'm used to that. It takes humility for me to actually believe and accept who God says I am. Think about it. Think about it. It's time for us to think like Jesus. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ, and begin to see ourselves equal with God. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So Jesus was changed into our image by allowing his mind to think about becoming like us. See, we're not even changed because we don't even think about becoming like God. Right? That's why I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So you're just going to keep thinking about yourself as a sinner. When God is saying, no, today think about yourself as a saint, as the righteousness of God. See, if I don't start thinking like God, I won't be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, when we behold him as a what? As a mirror. When we behold him as in a mirror, we will be changed into the same image. Right? Is that what your Bible said? Come on, follow me. If you follow me, flow with me, we'll end. All right? Right? The Bible says, beholding him as in a mirror, we will be changed. So if I don't look at God as a mirror, I won't be changed. See, Jesus didn't just come to be our hero. He came to be our example. He didn't just come to be our savior. He came to be our Lord. The Lord has the final say. Until you submit to his final say, his final authority, he's not your Lord. If God doesn't have a final say about your identity, about who you are, then he's not your Lord. Hallelujah. So when I behold him as a mirror, I will be changed. Change biblically happens by seeing God as a mirror. I have to see myself in him, and I have to see him in me. To look at God any other way is a distortion. It's incorrect. It's inaccurate. What do you do in the mirror? You look in the mirror, and you make corrections. But the Bible says we're looking at him not from sin to glory, but from glory to glory. From glory to glory, not sin to glory. Come on. We got to break the sin consciousness off of us. We got to break the shame consciousness off of us. God wants you to see yourself like he sees himself. Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. That was God's original intention for you to be. People who walk in his image and carry his likeness. Hallelujah. It's not robbery, church, to see yourself like God. Hallelujah. See, so if I'm going to see him, give me two more minutes. If I'm going to see him as in a mirror, I cannot look at the mirror and see out of the mirror what I want it to show. I have to see it as it reveals itself to me. Right? That's illusion. When you look at the mirror and you got a booger on your nose and you tell yourself, I don't got a booger, and keep walking. That's deception. The goal is you look in the mirror and you make corrections. Not excuses. So when we see him as in a mirror, Nancy, we look at God and say, God, that's you. And I see him the way, not the way that I want him to be, but the way he's revealed himself. So the way he's revealed himself in the word, the way he revealed himself in his son and Jesus, I see Jesus, I see the Father, and when I see him, I see myself in him. That's looking at him as in a mirror. And what happens after that? Something supernatural happens. Because when I allow this mind to be in me, the way that Christ didn't count it as robbery to be demoted as a human to live for us, God says, no, it's not robbery for you to let this mind be in you, to humble yourself and to begin to see yourself the way I see you. See? And so now revelation precedes reflection. Because when he reveals himself to me, he reflects himself in me. When he reveals himself to me, I begin to see myself the way he has revealed himself to me. And now that allows me to be changed into the same image from glory to glory to glory. Amen? So Christmas is not just about seeing baby Jesus born and we're excited and we admire his birth and we go about our lives the same way. When we see Jesus, we got to recognize that the mind that Jesus had in himself was that I'm becoming just like you. I'm being born just like you. I'm going to experience everything you experienced as a man so that you can have the confidence to begin to see yourself the way I see myself as a son of God. Because you're no longer just a sinner. You're now the righteousness of God. You're no longer just a sinner. You are now a saint. No longer are you a sinner. You are a son and a daughter of God. God is saying today, I want your identity to be upgraded. It's time for you to break the sin consciousness and the guilt consciousness and the shame consciousness off of your life. It's time for you to start looking at Jesus and seeing, that's my reflection. That's my example. I can live 100% the way he lived because he lived his life for me so that I can live my life as him. So as I close, this may sound like pride for religious spirits, but here's the goal. As I said, for God humbling himself meant becoming more like a man. And I want you to consider this. For man, humbling himself means becoming more like God. Because the first thing your guilt conscious, sin conscious self is going to say is, I can't live like God. I can't live holy. I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, you are going to make those mistakes, but guess what? You have an abundance of grace so that you can keep getting it right. Come on. And that grace is empowering you and enabling you to do what God has called you to do, to live the way God has called you to live, to see yourself the way that he sees you. Okay? So if I see myself any way less inferior than who God is, then I'm actually living my life as in a lie. And I'm actually walking in pride. All right? So if God says I'm 100% forgiven, and I still hold on to unforgiveness, not only of other people, but of myself, that I still condemn myself for sins that God has already forgiven me, then I'm not walking in pride. If, does God see himself poor? All right. So as a mirror, what do? I look at him and I see him and I begin to correct myself. If God doesn't call himself poor, why would I call myself poor? I'm rich. Does God have bad luck? So why would I walk around saying, I got bad luck today? No, God knows how blessed he is. We got to walk around saying we're blessed. Hallelujah. Come on. Does God have any generational curses in his family? So you better stop walking around saying there's a generational curse in your family. Say no, we are generationally blessed. Does God have any sicknesses in his body? No. So I need to now begin to say, no, I'm not sick. I'm healed in Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. Health is my portion. See, now the Bible says, if the heart man believes to righteousness, I believe I have equal weight with him. And then confession is made to what? Salvation. So the quality of my confession is based on the quality of my trust and my righteousness in him. You see, if I'm saying, I don't know if I'm healed, I don't know if God will heal me, I don't know if I'm healthy, then those confessions are your portion. But when I know that I'm right with God, and I'm in right standing with God, and God has made me just like him, and he called me to walk in his image and likeness, I walk around and say, no, I am healthy, I am whole, I don't have sicknesses in my body, I don't have diseases and infirmity in me, and if it's there in the natural, it's about to leave because of the fact that more and more of the righteousness of God is being imputed to me according to my confession. See, miracles flow when you believe your righteousness in Christ. You see that? God says you believe, so I'm going to give you the grace to actually experience what you declare out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing, but I got to end. Are you getting this? He is your mirror. He is your righteousness. You have equal weight with him. He wants you to begin to confess that out of your mouth. Say that I am blessed. Say I am healed. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I am holy. See, the Bible didn't say, become holy. It said, be holy. As I am holy. Right? He's saying, be something that you already are. I am, therefore you are. So it's not something that you're trying to become. It's something you already are, and you're simply becoming more of it. Right now, if you struggle with anything in your life, I feel a miracle happening for somebody. You see, one of the things I had to learn is that I had to learn to live in denial. What I mean by that is I had to learn how to live in denial of the things that God says is dead, the things that God says is behind me, the reality that God says that I'm dead to, I have to live in denial of it. I'm considering it dead. So you might have a sickness in your body today, but live in denial of that because that's one truth, but the greater truth is that God says you're healed. So righteous people don't allow their opinions of themselves or their opinions of other people have the final say. Righteous people allow God's words to have the final say in their lives. So I see myself the way God sees me. Despite of the doctor's report, I will believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. And because you're righteous, you qualify for your healing today. If you're sick, you qualify for it right now. Jesus said, let's all stand. Jesus said about himself, he said, how do we do the works of God? In John 8, he said, this is the work of God, to believe I told you the good news of Jesus Christ is going to be so good that it's going to be hard to believe. So the hardest part about salvation is not trying to get right. The hardest part is just simply believing that you already are. See? And you're talking to someone who's been delivered from struggles that were chronic in my life, pornography and lust and all this stuff that I was trying to keep, have these habits in my own strength. It wasn't until God taught me that I'm already righteous in Him. Grace came to actually empower me to live the way He said. And what I was striving to try to break in my life, grace did it for me. See, the Bible says that when you're weak, He's strong. So that you don't have a weakness. Because even in the weakest areas of your lives, strength is available for you. But you have to ask for it. Amen? I prophesy to every single person in this room that you're going to see the favor of God, the grace of God, the strength of God, the power of God, the might of God begin to influence, impact, bring transformation in the areas in your lives that you thought you would never break in your life. I declare that every insurmountable mountain in your life is now going to be broken by shouts of grace and grace. I declare now that there is grace upon grace, heaps of grace, abundance of grace coming over you right now. In the areas where the devil tried to keep you in shame and condemnation and guilt, I declare that right now there is a divine reversal. I declare that the justification of God is over you, and now you are no longer guilty in the areas where you once fell to sin, but you are now free. You are innocent, you are whole, you are healthy, you are blessed. Come on, you are rich in Christ because of the riches of Christ Jesus, the grace of God that's been given to you. Hallelujah. Come on, I declare that your weight is picking up in the spirit, that you are now going to have a new capacity, a new confidence, a new boldness to begin to pray and ask God for the supernatural, to ask God for the impossible, to ask God for the things that were once limitations to you. They're going to now no longer operate under the law of limitations, but there's going to be a supernatural faith and a supernatural courage that's coming on your life because you now believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Who is that for? Come on, who's believing that? You see, I'm prophesying to you that the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When I declare who you are in Jesus, there's a prophetic anointing that's released on your life because God is now going to begin to do in you what you couldn't do in yourself. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands together. Say, I submit to your word, to your righteousness. I submit, I come under your authority because you're stronger than me. You're wiser than me. You are greater than I. You are higher than I. And as I come under you, I also bring my mind under you. Let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ, that I will believe that I can become all that Christ died for me to be. That I can live according to the standard that Christ said I can live up to. I will no longer allow corrupt communication come out of my mouth. I will only speak life. I will only speak peace. And I will only speak grace. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.